We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us in studio right now, a six-time Major League All-Star, a two-time World Series champ, and former AL Rookie of the Year and AL MVP. One of the Bash Brothers, Jose Canseco, joining Chad, Joe, and Lo on 95.7 The Game. The premiere of his new movie, Jose Canseco, The Truth Hurts, next Sunday in Concord. For VIP packages to the premiere, go to thetruthhurtsmovie.com. Jose Canseco will be there at the red carpet event. Jose, good morning. Thanks for joining us in studio.
Hey, you got my name right. That's pretty good. Most people would get it wrong.
That's okay. So,
what would most people say? Canseco. Actually, coming into baseball in the minor leagues, it used to be Jose Canseco, and I was like, wait a minute, it's like the Seiko watch, Canseco, so you're getting it right. Either way, it sounds all right.
So I saw, I love what you're talking about, your favorite baseball player of all time, Reggie Jackson. Not because of the power, but you said it was because he was a great entertainer.
It was. I used to watch him growing up, and it was because of the entertainment value that he actually had. He was a player, when he went up to the plate, you never knew what he was going to do. You know, he's going to hit a long home run. You watch Reggie, when he strikes out, his legs get all twisted up and he goes to one knee to the actual ground. So I thought he had incredible entertainment value. And of course, when he got a hold of a ball, it was just amazing.
Now for you, you say that, you know what, no matter what people know about me, it's like I wasn't addicted to steroids or anything else. I was addicted to baseball. You still love the game of baseball today a lot with all your heart.
Of course, that's what I grew up doing. That's what I grew up knowing. That's what I grew up playing, baseball. And, of course, at one point I actually excelled at that in the minor leagues. I went up to the major league level, rookie of the year, MVP in 40, 40, and 88. And even to today, still love the game. I love watching it. It's the most entertaining thing. There are some exciting players out there. Not like the 80s and 90s when we had a lot of entertainers. But there are some great players out there.
You talk about some of these great players. I think Bryce Harper is probably one of them that you're thinking of. Mike Trout, guys like that.
Let me tell you something about Bryce Harper the first time I met him. He's a big boy. I didn't realize he was that big. I think I met him at a 24-hour fitness or at LVAC in Vegas. And
he's from there and you live there,
he's
correct?
From there. I saw him. I went, wait a minute, Bryce, I didn't realize you were. He's like about 6'3", about 230 pounds. I mean, that is a big man.
Wow. Now, he's outspoken that baseball needs to become more fun, that the game, the rules, the code, the unwritten rules of baseball are kind of getting in the way of this sport taking the next step. Are you in favor of what Bryce is saying, that maybe the pimping of the home runs, the bat flips, the Cespedes and Puig-type plays are better for baseball, or do guys still need to abide by this code and Harper might be a bit outspoken?
No, he's not outspoken. He's saying the way it should be. And then again, baseball has come a long way from the 80s. This bat flip and the high fives and the handshakes and the, pointing back to the dugout, that didn't exist 20, 30 years ago. I mean, you should do that 20, 30 years ago. You get beamed up next to that bat with a 100-mile-per-hour fastball to the head. But I'm all for what the fans like. And I think the fans pay a lot of money in parking, concessions, memorabilia to watch these players play. And whatever makes the game more exciting and more intriguing to the fans, that's what I'm for.
Jose, why baseball? Why not growing up football? What was one of those determining factors that said, you know what, I want to do baseball, not football? Look at your physique. You know, I like football. I think that, you look like you could have did anything that you wanted. But what was one of the determining factors, and who got you started on the baseball?
Very simply, I tried to play football in high school one time. I think I was in high school 5'10", 5'11", 155 pounds. I looked like a string bean, and my parents said, you're going to get killed. You're not playing football. Those guys are 230, 40, 50 pounds. We used to have a center that was 300 pounds.
Wow.
So believe it or not, I'm 6'4", 270. In high school, I graduated, I think, 5'11", 160 or 170. So my parent just said, basically, it's too dangerous for you to play football.
Well, I can understand that. When did you know that you had it? When you're playing baseball at a young age, high school, college, when did you say, you know what, now first it starts as a dream to play college, then a dream to play in the pros. When did you think that you had something special that you could take it to the next level?
You know, I think the mentality, when you think you have it, you stop working. I never thought I had it. I always worked people that know me during the offseason, worked extremely hard, whether it be weightlifting, nutrition, my certain baseball workout, going to University of Miami, learning how to run properly, learning how to excel the first two strides, and eventually I did do the 40-40. But I think as long as you think as an athlete there's something still missing, you want to get better, bigger, faster, stronger. You will get bigger, faster, stronger. As soon as you think you have it, you stop growing.
Yeah. Who was the most influential in your career, in your process, in high school, college? Who was that one guy, or maybe woman or man, that injected life in you to let you know that you could be special, never give up? Who's that person that you looked to for leadership?
You know, I think it just was the major league players. I used to be a big fan of the Cincinnati Reds. An individual I was a big fan of Reggie Jackson. And I always loved the power hitting aspect of the game. Of course, in the 80s and 90s, power hitting was just tremendous with breaking the Roger Maris record, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGuire, all these great entertaining power hitters. In Reggie's era, he stood out so much because he was one of the very few power hitters who can actually entertain. So I always looked forward to in baseball. I figured I could play baseball. You don't have to be big, strong, and powerful to do that. And I excelled in it because I worked extremely hard.
You mentioned Sosa and McGuire. You actually say in the movie that baseball shouldn't vilify these guys. They should go up and shake their hands, congratulate them.
Well, I think MLB owes a huge thank you to Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa. Whether they were in PEDs or not, that's just irrelevant. They did bring back the game of baseball. At one point, I think the game was struggling. They lost 20% of their fan base. And with this incredible home run race between Mark McGuire, the All-American, and Sammy Sosa, the Latin, however you want to put it, brought back the excitement. I remember when they were going through this home run race, there were people who never watched the game and started watching the game of baseball. So I think MLB owes them a great thank you and great gratitude for what they actually did.
Well, when you knew that, when you think about, just like you're talking about with PEDs, like you had Sammy, all these different guys allegedly were taking PEDs. But when baseball itself knew that all these guys were playing for years, they were, whether it's greenies, whether it's PEDs, people knew. Everyone knew that. So when you knew that everything was going on, you knew how long this had been going. Baseball, they knew that it was going on. When you thought about it, what was one of those determining factors? You said, you know what, everyone already knows, but why publicly would you feel that, you know what, I need to do this?
Well, simple. If you look at my history, at 36 years old, I was out of a job. And it was a very simple incident that happened. Major League Baseball lost control of the salary structure. They knew that I educated players, I educated trainers, I basically set records on PEDs, and I think started that PED era. And once Major League Baseball lost control of the salary structure, they needed someone or an entity to either send me a message or control the salary structure again. So I was blackballed. It's really that simple.
And you were frustrated at that point because I think you made this point as well, that the last 5 years of your career more productive than the first five years of your career. So at age 36, you could have still played.
I could. I mean, I'm 52 right now. I can still hit a baseball and softball or 500 feet. So because I maintain myself in incredible condition, I could have easily played for 4 or 5 years. There's no ifs and buts about it. People who know me know that I still have exceptional hand speed.
Jose Canseco in studio, former Oakland A, part of the Bash Brothers. His movie, The Truth Hurts, will debut this weekend in Concord. You can go to the truthhurtsmovie.com for your opportunity to grab a VIP package. One thing I wanted to ask you about, Jose, was your mom, key relationship with your mom, and she was the foundation of your family, and the movie did a great job of laying this out because your dad was old school in terms of how he would administer the discipline, and your mom would step in to save you guys. But it was
several times.
But this was early on. I mean, you're playing what, A-ball in Modesto, mm-hmm. And talk about the sequence of events that happened that really kind of led to. And I didn't realize this until I saw the movie. That kind of led to your decision to explore other opportunities to improve your baseball game, which led to the PEDs.
Right. Before my mom passing away, I knew nothing about PEDs. Didn't even know they actually existed. Had no idea what they could do for you. And my mom had suffered from migraine headaches. Now I'm playing with the Modesto A's. And I think close to mid-season, a month before mid-season, my sister calls me and says, come home. Mom is sick. I'm going, what do you mean? At the time, I'm 19. I just turned 19 years old. So I fly home, fly straight to the hospital. My mom is basically attached to an artificial, you know, machine because her brain is dead. She actually died. And to do a little background, of course, my mom was our savior. Hispanic lady, refused to speak English. It was amazing. And then, you know, always saved me from, even though I love my dad, he died 4 to 5 years ago. But my father was very militant, very by the actual book.
Sure.
And, you know, I promised her right there on the spot, she had never seen me play ball, that I was going to become the best player in the world. And I think most people don't know me. They really don't know who I am. And when I make a promise, I don't break it for anybody. So after that, she buried her. And I was trying to figure out a way how to become bigger, faster, stronger. I was obsessed and infatuated with fulfilling that that promise. I met, finally spoke to a friend of mine and said, listen, I can help you with that. And I said, well, how? He goes, well, with PEDs.
And this is your buddy named Ricky?
He knows who he is. Yeah, Ricky. Okay. I won't say his last name. He knows exactly who he is. And he was a good friend of mine back then from high school. And first time I remember injecting PEDs, he actually injected me in his bathroom. And I thought, well, wait a minute. The injection, it happened. It stung a little bit. And I went thinking, okay, now, because you hear all these stories about
PEDs. Were you waiting for the superpowers to enter your body?
I'm waiting for, you know, I'm thinking, am I going to, you know, grow a horn? Am I going to sound like a horse? I mean, what's going to happen to me? And basically nothing happened. It was like, okay, it's just a little injection. Nothing basically happened. So I think people get the misconception of PEDs that all of a sudden you inject it into an individual and they become Captain America. That's not the way it works. There's a lot of hard work behind it.
But during that weightlifting, you notice that pump in the first 5 to 10 minutes once you start to cycle through, correct? And once you get to that point, that's when you start to notice something's cooking, something's different.
Well, I don't know how you actually judge that because I've never done it before. So you don't, you know, I guess for me, I never felt a big difference right away. I think over time, you kind of feel difference, but how do you really judge that? It's just impossible to judge what PEDs do to different individuals.
So when you say that, so why at that time when you say, okay, couldn't really judge it, then what? But you knew not to stop. Why would you not stop once you got to a point when you say, okay, I can't really judge it. It's really doing anything for me. Why continue?
Well, because it wasn't illegal at the time. It wasn't. It wasn't a subject matter that came up in MLB.
Sure.
in our yearly meetings with the Player Association. It wasn't anything that was told to us that you cannot do. It wasn't brought up saying, okay, MLB is going to test for this. As a matter of fact, back then, MLB only tested for, I think the standards were marijuana, cocaine, and some type of amphetamines.
Do you think, were they well aware of what was going on at the time?
That's a laughable question. That's very laughable.
Exactly.
That is a laughable, absolutely.
So at this point, is there any thought in your mind whatsoever about maybe I'm doing something wrong, I shouldn't be doing this, or is it just, hey, what the hell?
Everyone
else is doing it. Major League Baseball doesn't care.
Well, if at any point a player rep or when we had player association meetings, MLB would have stepped in and said, send a message to us saying, you guys got to stop using PEDs. For example, MLB sends a message to our player rep. Our player rep comes to us and says, listen, this is what the problem is. Or we might have a strike this year. There's a salary discussion. It never came into play where our player rep, who represents our voice in the MLB meetings, actually came in and said, okay, the gig is up, guys. You got to stop using PEDs. They're going to start testing for it. They're going to come down hard on people. That never took place. So for us, it was something that, number one, we really didn't know the legalities of it off the actual field. And number two, in baseball, obviously, it was completely legal.
So what was the moment that came when anyone in the league who may have been using realized, okay, now we got a problem in our hands? Did the MLB ever come? Did the player reps ever say anything at any point?
Never. Not one time until I wrote the book, Juice.
So the book was what changed everything with the game?
Well, what started the process was that at age 36, I couldn't find a job anywhere. My agent started contacting other teams. And even at one point, we made a decision of me playing for free. And if the major league salary, minimum salary came into play, we're going to donate to a local charity to bring kids out. Every organization never said, you're too old, you can't play, you don't have the hand speed, you don't have the ability. They all said, we can't touch you. That's obviously a slap in the face saying we're blackballing you, and you know why. And that sends a huge message to the other players. I remember playing in golf pro-ams and players like Alex Rodriguez coming up to me saying, Jose, you're being blackballed. You know that? I go, absolutely, I know. I was the last person that wanted to admit this, but I was being blackballed, and we all knew the reason why.
Is that the same thing that happened in your mind to Barry Bonds? Because that's what he claimed when he filed a lawsuit against MLB.
Well, Barry Bonds played till he was 43, 44 years old. So if you're going to be blackballed, that's the right time to do it, when your prime is almost over, not at 36 years old.
Jose Canseco, former Bash brother in studio, AL MVP. You talk about the promise to your mom. When was the moment that you knew that you had kept that promise? Was it when you had accomplished the 40-40 goal or when you were AL MVP? When did you know that you had reached that pinnacle?
I can remember doing the 44 like it were yesterday. And in my mind, the promise was fulfilled when I won the MVP and I was rated at that time the best player in the world. To me, that was my promise to my mom. Done.
You know what's interesting, too, because when people think steroids, they think big, muscle-bound dudes, right? But you actually went the other way. You pushed the limits with biomechanics to improve speed. How did that process come about?
I don't understand how people just believe that you could become, inject steroids, become bigger, and all of a sudden have hand-eye coordination.
Still got to work.
Depth perception, athletic ability, not work at all, and not diet. It's just amazing the ignorance there is out there about PEDs. But, it's a whole lot of hard work. Of course, I had to go to University of Miami and learn how a guy 6'4", how my biomechanics work, how to accelerate that a first step, how to lean a little bit and cheat. So it was a whole new world for me because I knew I had some speed, but how did I develop the right running muscles? How did I develop the explosive first step? I had to work on that.
How was it for you? I was fortunate enough to play 16, 17 seasons in NFL, played till I was 38. And, there's things that happen. We get it. Things that happen on trips and people do whatever they're going to do. How did your brotherhood receive you, when you write the book, name people? How was that for you? Was it uncomfortable? How'd you deal with that?
Basically, I was outcasted. I'm a pariah. Most players from that era would not deal with me or speak with me. I'm still blackballed from the game of baseball. Can't manage in any way, shape, or form or coach in affiliate ball. So I'm even till today, which has been 10, 15 years, which, I understand. I wrote a book against Major League Baseball, and I told the truth. And it wasn't, sure. It wasn't really, yes, it was about steroids, but it was about my life in general and what happened to Jose Canseco. Why at 36 he disappeared? How come the last 4 or 5 years of his career were better than the first 4 or 5 years of his career? And the first 4 or 5 years, of course, he's Rookie of the Year, MVP, and so forth. But you look at my stats the last 5 years, more home runs per at bat, higher batting average, more RBIs per at bat, higher slugging percentage. Everything went up. And at one point in time, being healthy, not even being inserted into the lineup. So, and then you figure, wait a minute, why can't I play for a team for free? No team could benefit from me hitting 40 to 50 home runs or driving in over 100 runs, or at least the entertainment value of a 36-year-old who still has tremendous bat speed. How does that happen? And there's only one explanation for that. You're being blackballed.
But Jose, we always hear this in baseball with the unwritten rules. And you play and you're a part of that culture. You live by the code. You play by the code. Well, why violate the code and name names? Because you had to know that there was going to be backlash with that, I would imagine.
Well, it was real simple. I it was a long process. The original manuscripts of my book did not involve players. Of course, when I took that to HarperCollins and Judith Regan, they said, listen, we can't even publish this. No one's going to believe it. You've got to put names. And believe me, I went through a long process trying to figure out, am I going to do this?
Because you actually wrote the book yourself, right? So you went through the pains on it.
Absolutely. It took about a year to write. And people that know me know by the words in the actual book that it is me.
Sure.
People who deal with me on a daily basis. But
it was a very tedious
process, an emotional roller coaster like you wouldn't believe. And I'm talking about incorporating nightmares, waking up in the middle of the night, trying to figure out, I put names, what's going to happen to my family, friends, how they're going to receive me, the aftermath, the death threats, because I kind of knew that was kind of coming. And but I think the eventuality of it was I needed people to know how at 36 I just disappeared. Mm. Off the face of the earth in baseball, and why no team, even if I would have donated the minimum salary, I think
still wouldn't touch
back
you.
Then still right. wouldn't touch right. me with no explanation whatsoever.
How did you go through that process of saying what guy I'm gonna sell, what guy I'm gonna turn in, what guy I'm, how did you How did you put that together to say, what guy am I gonna do this to? It's got to be tough.
No, it wasn't choose and pick. It was everyone that was involved in my life at the time.
Okay.
So the individuals I mentioned in the actual book were individuals that I dealt with.
Okay.
I injected personally, and I knew beyond a benefit of doubt, if I put them in contact with a PD distributor, that they were going to be using PD. So it wasn't secondhand information. It wasn't hearsay information. This was direct. The book, word per word, letter per letter, and I'll say this, is 100% accurate.
Since that book came out, obviously it has caused a chain of reaction, chain of events that has led to today, where baseball has worked very hard to change its image and to put new testing procedures in place. Do you think baseball is doing all it can to clean up its image? Has it been able to eradicate this issue?
They have no choice now because Congress got involved. The book got involved. The book brought up names. Congress backed up the actual book. And they said, listen, the rock has been uncovered. The gig is up. You've got to clean this game up. But I think today, whether the book helped, whether Congress helped, whether whatever exterior pressure helped, the game is the best game, period, today.
If you had to do it over again, would you still write the book, but you think you'd have named? How do you wrestle with that still?
Every day.
Yeah.
Believe me, when the book came out, my family was in danger, a lot of death threats. A lot of nightmares. And I think even till today, I'm still paying the price. But at least the book helped a lot of young kids. At least the book helped straighten out the game of baseball, where today the fan base is incredible. The salary structure is incredible. Now players and ownership are actually getting together and promoting the actual game. And in the past, it was bickering between the salary structure, the players talking bad about the ownership, the ownership talking about the players. Now, more than ever, they are unified.
Mm.
Hey, Jose, in the movie, you talk about how you injected Mark McGwire. What were the discussions that you would have with Mark back during that time when you're injecting him and you guys are kind of embarking on this new, arena?
You know, it wasn't. People think it was a big deal. It wasn't a big deal at all. It was almost like having a cup of coffee. Hey, listen, I'm going to the bathroom. Can you do this real quick? Mom, we do it. Get out of the way and go practice. It wasn't a secret. No, yeah, it wasn't a big deal. It was something that was known by everyone. It was something that was accepted by MLB and in some cases endorsed by MLB, believe it or not, till they lost control of the salary structure.
At its absolute peak, how many players do you think we're using?
80% or higher in the actual league, the whole combined league.
How do you feel now long-term, the things that you put in your body? Do you think that, we talk about, steroids, how of course your muscles get bigger if you keep working, all those different things, but your liver, your heart, and all these other things get inflamed as well. Moving forward, do you think about those issues, or you don't even, or are you just like, hey, I'm good because you know the amounts to take and how to do it in a safe way?
It's actually all amount and dose related, really. You can abuse anything.
Sure.
You can abuse any drug. You can abuse aspirin. You can abuse anything. I think when you monitor your body properly and you do a little bit of due diligence, do a little bit of background information. Today, with the internet, you can look up anything and any chemical and any structure and use it properly. I think every chemical has a certain use that, if used properly, can definitely help.
Jose Canseco in studio. I've got to ask because I noticed this on your Twitter line. For a weekend with Jose Canseco, call X number. What does a weekend with Jose Canseco include, for crying out loud? That sounds like something I might want to check out.
Well, it's funny. You know how that started. I was under house arrest. I don't know how many, 10, 15, 20 for a bar brawl I had. And basically, people know this. When you're under house arrest, you really have a lot of restrictions. You can't work. So I actually started that a long time ago, just despite the situation that I was under house arrest. And we did it as a gag. And believe it or not, people wanted to pay a lot of money to come spend the day with me, even under house arrest, to see how Jose Canseco's life was. But along the way, I got a lot of strange requests. Jose, we want you to have dinner with this one guy. He's obviously of the gay persuasion.
Sure.
And he wants you to come out in your baseball pants with no shirt on. and wanted that dinner and bringing a baseball bat out. And so I got a lot of funny strains. I got couples that want to do jacuzzi. I got a group that wanted to just watch home run videos. I got another group that just wanted to ask me Q&As for like 3 or 4 hours. Of course, the simple groups would ask me, can you show my son how to hit a baseball, a softball? So believe me, my life's been pretty damn entertaining, pretty funny. So I kind of tweeted that just to mess around to see if it would actually have some foundation. And it did start working again. I think people are fascinated or interested, or maybe their lives are just that damn boring that they want to spend the weekend with me. Who knows?
I thought about you last weekend when LeBron James, Game 7, he was getting the Delonte West chants at the stadium. Mm-hmm. So I thought about you, because what's it like when you're trying to go up to the plate and you got people chanting, Madonna, Madonna?
You know, actually, it's funny because as athletes, when I go up to the plate, when I'm the transition of the pitcher releasing the ball, I hear nothing. Yeah. You are so focused and zoned in that you could be screaming in my ear at that time. I wouldn't hear you. Now, when I'm playing outfield and you're screaming at me, yeah, then I hear everything because basically when the incident happened with Madonna, I'm playing right field and people are throwing coins, they're throwing blow-up dolls, they're throwing empty Jack Daniel bottles. Of course they're empty because they're going to drink it first. They're throwing Jack Daniel bottles at me and you're hearing these things kind of like lawn darts hit beside me and they're screaming Madonna and this and that. So you definitely hear that. But I think when you're hitting and the pitcher's in the process of releasing a baseball, you don't hear anything. It's weird.
All right. A limited number of VIP packages still available for the Concord, California red carpet movie premiere, which will be on June 26th. Jose Canseco, The Truth Hurts. Please go to thetruthhurtsmovie.com. Is your dream still to be a manager in Major League Baseball?
Before I die, yeah. Maybe 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Who knows? I might have to live to be 150. But, I actually made a comment. I think it was on Twitter. I said, the chances of me being a Major League manager, I have a better chance of being abducted by aliens. So we'll see what happens.
All right, Jose, thanks for your time in studio. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.